Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, tonight, I guess there are a few explanations that one could speculate of how Rav Dani mentioned about the 10-minute mussars. So, tonight, why I've changed the format is an interesting question, but you have chumashim over here. What I wanted to do tonight was actually a parsha shir, not mussar or chasidus. And really, it's not so much a parsha shir. It's really all about Sefer Bamidbar. We're in Parshas Korach right now. Excuse me, Chukas right now. But I want to go all the way back to take a look at the structure of Sefer Bamidbar. And there are things that just struck me that lead up to the drama of Parshas Chukas. And there's probably no greater tragic drama, and that is the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Chof, in Pasuk Zayin Ches and Tes. And to really understand the background behind it, some yesodos that I saw from our great Rabbein that really opened my eyes. And so this is as much a study of the structure of Sefer Bamidbar as it is about Parshas Chukas itself. Just in terms of this week's Parsha, so the Torah describes Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Perek Chof Pasuk Zayin. Kaches Hamate VeHakel Asoeda Atov Aron Achicha VeDibartem El Hasela Einehem VeNosan Meima VeOtzeisel Emayim Min Hasela. Speak to the rock. VeYikach Moshe Smata Milfnei Hashem Kasher Tzivahu. And Moshe takes the stick that Kadosh Baruch Hu had told him to say in Pasuk Ches. And then VeYor Moshe Siyado VeYaches Hasela. Vayamer Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron Yan lo amantem bi lahagishen le'ini beYisrael lochein lo saviu as akol hazel arz shenasati lahem. So this is a dramatic. We can't even use the word mistake, but it's a dramatic phenomenon where Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't comply exactly with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Dibartem al Hasela, and Moshe Rabbeinu on some level. Earth and Yan lo amantem bi that Bnei Yisrael can't go into Eretz Yisrael. To understand the kaviyachol tos of Moshe Rabbeinu is beyond me at this stage. I'm over 40 years old, and exactly what the tos is and why Moshe Rabbeinu made that tos, I don't feel yet I'm ready to explore. However, what led up to this phenomenon is startling. Sefer Bamidbar begins in a very, very dramatic way. Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'oil moed. Su'u es roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael mishpachosam. There's a counting of all of Klal Yisrael. The Netziv points out in his Hakdama to Bamidbar, the Chazal don't refer to Bamidbar as Sefer Bamidbar. They refer to Bamidbar as Chumash HaPkudim. This Sefer is referred to as the Sefer of the Countings of Bnei Yisrael. Now, the Netziv points out that Klal Yisrael is counted a few times. But particularly here in Bamidbar, there are two countings that to the Netziv are extremely important. One, the opening counting of Parshas Bamidbar. And the other in Pinchas, that Klal Yisrael is counted again. So there's something about the Netziv feels about the repetitive countings, and we're not going to get into, again, in 45 minutes or whatever our time that we have to be able to encompass everything in Sefer Bamidbar is going to be impossible, but the Netziv is ma'arich about these two countings in both Parshas Pinchas in the beginning of Bamidbar, and he claims that there is a dramatic change. And he alludes to this. Rav Kuperman's son did a new edition of the Netziv, the Hamik Davar. He alludes to the different Hezberim that the Netziv discusses. And the Netziv points out that they're fundamentally two different counts. One in the beginning of Bamidbar and the other in Sefer Pinchas. What's the change? A. B. Is why then is it called Bamidbar? If it's Chazal referred to as Chumash HaPkudim, why particularly is it called Bamidbar? So to really understand and to garner a very, very important lesson about Moshe Rabbeinu's development in the whole Sefer, one needs to go to Chazal's division of the Sefer. Many are aware that Rav Soloveitchik had a beautiful understanding. In fact, Rabbi Ganak in his Akdama to Rav Avishai David Shlita's Sefer, Darosh Darosh Yosef from Rav Soloveitchik, in the Hakdama, Rabbi Ganak points out that this Mahalach that we're about to say over from Rav Soloveitchik was, he heard from Rav Yitzchak Twersky Zatzal, probably his favorite. But I only heard a piece of it. Just this year, I realized the profound implication, like many things of Rav Yeshiver's Torah. You hear one part and it sounds beautiful, and then you realize that there are layers and layers and layers and layers that go into it. Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, excuse me, has a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. And that Sefer Bifnei Atzma is Vayivin Sayarom. The Gemara in Shabbos darshins that something is considered a Sefer because when it has 85 letters, because we learned from the upside down nuns of Vayivin Sayarom that it's a Sefer by itself, it's an entirely separate Sefer. And that has a Din Sefer because of those 85 letters. For the Rav, this wasn't a coincidence. Vayi ben Sayaron doesn't coincidentally appear over here in Parshas Baloscha, but there is an absolute drama that takes place in Sefer Bamidbar, and Vayi ben Sayaron is a absolutely startling change of events. Take a look. In Perek Yud Aleph in Baloscha, we have Vayihi Ha'om Ki Mesonim Rabba Znei Hashem, that the Mesonim complained Vayishma Hashem Vayichar Apo Vativar Bom Eish Hashem Vatochel Bikzei Machane. This is the first time that Klal Yisrael falls trap, and I think this is so relevant to our generation, because there's no question that we as mechanchim, and probably even more importantly as parents, we are faced with this in our generation. And Rav Soloveitchik said this 40 years ago, Kal v'chomer today, and that is, this is the first time that Klal Yisrael sinks into hedonism. That's what the Avera of the Mesonanim, the Avera of the Slav, and so on, expresses in Parshas Baloscha. The Rav argued that Parshas Baloscha is the turning point, and the Parsha Vayihi ben Sayaron is probably the most tragic turning point of the history of Klal Yisrael. It comes close to the night of Bechi of Tisha B'Av, but Yesh La'ayin, which one is more dramatic and which one is more tragic? Parshas Baloscha and Noso and Sefer Bamidbar begin. The Pekudim, the first Pekudim of Suez Rosh B'nai Yisrael, is the counting of B'nai Yisrael ready to march into Eretz Yisrael. If there has been ever a change of a tone of a book, Kaviyachol in quotes, it's the change of tone from the beginning of Baloscha up until Vayiv and Sayaron Moshe, Bamidbar and Noso, which is all about the encampments of Klal Yisrael, ready to march into Eretz Yisrael, with all of the Skatan B'chatzotzros, which of course is not only going to be in the Midbar, but is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have the Parsha of Vayihi ben Sayaron. In other words, the Aron is ready to move to its finding resting place. And then something happens. Klal Yisrael falls into this trap of hedonism. And that's the first step for the night of Tisha B'Av. We're leading up now to Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, to the 3 weeks, and ultimately Tisha B'Av. That's really the first step before Tisha B'Av. So to really understand the frustration of Moshe Rabbeinu with Klal Yisrael, we need to examine the successive Averos, which all start with this tremendous, tremendous disappointment, where Klal Yisrael is ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, and then, bang, Sefer Bamidbar, what do Chazal say? There are seven Svarim. There are not five Chumashim. It's not Chamisha Chumashay Torah according to Halacha. There are seven Svarim. Vayi ben Tzai Aron is a separate Sefer by itself. Sefer Bamidbar is slashed into three. It's slashed into three. The first part, the, if you will, the Nechama as well as the Tzar of Vayi ben Tzai Aron, and that one day is Uvenucha Yomar. One day there will be Uvenucha Yomar. And then all of the tragedies of Baal Oscha, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Balak, and then once again, the counting of Klal Yisrael again in Parshas Pinchas. So let's now zero in on those Averas. Now we don't need to go very far. All we need is Halakha Chumash and Halakha Rashi. That's all we need. Once we have this Havana from the Netziv, which his great-great-grandson built on with the basic Yisodos, all we need is a little bit of Halakha Chumash, Halakha Rashi, and there's some very, very important lessons from this. Sure, of course.
Are we going within the Mahalachim Chazal that Vayibin Tzoa Aron is placed here to separate Mipronus the Pronus, or we're not going within that Mahalach?
That's a fair question. In other words, according to what Rav Soloveitchik was developing from his great grandfather, Lechura, the way we're presenting it now is that there's one theme all the way going through Baal Oscha, right? So, and Chazal in that Gemara that counted as Sukim is the Makar, as Rashi quotes in Lamed Hey, is to say that it's dividing me Peronios Liperonios. I don't know, Tzarechiyun. In other words, does the Netziv's, how does the Netziv's Pshat relate to this Rashi? I think that's a good question. I'll answer the question. There's a lot to say about that question, but I'll answer in one sentence. What's the Peronios prior? The Peronios is Yisro not going with them. That's the immediate Peronios, right? What is it? Rashi just says, Kedei l'hafsik ben Peronios l'Peronios, Kedei isa perikol kisvei, right? So what exactly is the Peronios of Yisro? Right? What exactly is the Peronios of Yisro? So, we alluded to last week that Yisro represents Vayisa Lanu Le'inoyim. We spoke about the significance of Yisro's vision, Vayisa Lanu Le'inoyim. So, it could very well be that part is not a classic Peronios. That part is all part of that anticipation of going into Eretz Yisrael, where we spoke about last week the significance of Einayim in going into Eretz Yisrael, which I can't be Ma'arich now. It'll take too long. So it could very well be that it's not a classic Peronios. So even though it's Lahavdil ben Peronios to Peronios, it's very different than the Peronios that we've been speaking about up until now. We'll leave it at that. Okay. So let's take a look at the structure over here of the Averas. So this begins the slip of Klal Yisrael. And before we go on, Before we go on and look at the successive Averis, let's ask a couple of questions about the structure of Parshas Baal Oscha. In Parshas Baal Oscha, we have something that seems to come out of left field. And what comes out of left field is the Lashon Hara of Miriam. The Lashon Hara of Miriam. Vatidaber Miriam Perik Yubez, Vatidaber Miriam Vaaram Bemarisha al Oida Seisha Kushis Asher Lokach, Kisha Kushis Lokach. And of course, Vaish Marisha Anam Mi'od. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's Avera? So Moshe Rabbeinu's Avera Klape Miriam, what does she think? So his Avera was that he separated from his wife. We're all Nevi'im. It's very interesting the placement over here between Miriam's Lashon Hara and this progression of Averas. Okay, let's put that on the side for a moment. Put that as another tzarchiyum. So we spoke about the interesting expression of Bamidbar, why it's called Bamidbar. We spoke about the significance of the breakdown of Bamidbar into two different places, and then this particular Avera of Miriam. Of course, then we have the Avera of the Meraglim that there's so much that's said about. Again, the connection between the Lashon Hara of Miriam and the Lashon Hara of Meraglim that Rashi alludes to. That's in Parsha Shlach. We've spoken in the past about the connection between Mitzvahs Chala, and Or Sameach speaks about the Mitzvahs Nesachim and Chala and the Avera of the Meraglim that we have Shlach. Then we have the Avera of Korach. And here Rashi points out, when it comes to Korach, that Moshe Rabbeinu's response, and this is going to be critical, Moshe Rabbeinu's response begins to change. Let's take a look at Rashi. In other words, what I want to argue is that even in the basic Rashi, Rashi notices, alludes to Chazal's approach, that there is a progression that's taking place, which starts with the highlight of Bamidbar, that anticipation of going into Eretz Yisrael. And what I'm driving at is, without being on the Madrega to understand and not having enough material to understand what exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu's Avera of hitting the rock, but in many ways it culminates with that kaviyachol mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's take a look at... Yes? There's so much to say. We have to all... And 45 minutes, so we won't be able to touch everything. But you're right, Mekoshesh. Also, Rashi points out something over there. It's only a certain amount. Let's take a look at in Parshas Korach. Rashi says something amazing in Pasuk Dalet. So when Korach leads his rebellion, so then Perek Tezayin Pasuk Dalet, Moshe Rabbeinu's response is Vayishma Moshe Vayipal Al Ponov. Moshe Rabbeinu's response is he falls on his face, which in itself is very, very reminiscent for us, and that is Nefila Sapayim in Tefila. Zok Tehele Gerashi Vayipol Alponov Mipnei HaMachlekes. He falls on his face because of the Machlekes. Shekvar Zeh Biyodom Sirchon Revi'i. This is already the fourth Sirchon of Klal Yisrael. Be'egel. When it came to the first Aver of the Egel, so there is an Aver already prior, and then the Shemois. Vayichal Moshe. So then Moshe entreats to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'misoinenim, the end of Baloischa, the segue that we've spoken about, or the transformation, to be more precise. Vayispalo Moshe. Rashi seems to understand, this Rav Pinkus discusses, the difference between a tefillah of Vayichal, to entreat the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, versus Vayispalo. We can't get into that either. Vayispalo Moshe. So Rashi's alluding to that Vayichal is a stronger form of entreatment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes weaker. We have such an idea of Moshe Rabbeinu already becoming weaker. A leader gets his strength from his people. Moshe Rabbeinu loses the... Moshe Rabbeinu, when the luchos come out of his hands, there's a sense that Moshe Rabbeinu has become, doesn't have the ability to be able to carry the luchos. Vayichal to vayispalo. Bimeraglim, and by the meraglim it says, vayoymer Moshe el Hashem. No longer does Moshe Rabbeinu even find the koach to even pray for Klal Yisrael. He still speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he argues. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu now has gone from the mispalel, the Navi that's encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going, if you will, fire to with fire, fighting fire with fire. He's now Moshe Rabbeinu as the Malamed of Klal Yisrael, who's arguing on defense of Klal Yisrael. It's Klal Yisrael's attorney. B'machloikis shel Korach nisrashlu yodov. Again, the description of his hands becoming weak. We have Moshe Rabbeinu's hands like luchos. We have Moshe Rabbeinu's hands when fighting Amalek. Nisrashlu yodov, his hands become weak. Moshele ben Melech. And Rashi goes on and says, because there's only a certain amount that a person is going to defend himself defend the Ben Melech to the Melech. If the Ben Melech keeps on sinning, there's only a certain amount. So Moshe Rabbeinu falls on his face. Now, it could very well be that this nefila is a different type of tefillah. It's what I alluded to before. Something is akin to nefila sapayim. It's definitely Moshe Rabbeinu not throwing up the white flag, right? I mean, the next moment, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Korach. He confronts Korach. Vaydaber al Korach lel kol el saylemar. But at the end of the day, Rashi learns that there's a progression over here that's taking place. Yes. Oh, yeah.
You also have a spot where you call it.
That's a kasha on Rashi. Nachon.
That's the Maskil the Dabra asked the question.
Yeah, very good. What does he say?
So he says, when you pull up Pana, by Shlaka says, when you pull up Pana, if they call it us from Israel.
And here?
He wanted the Yehudim not to go with the Maragim. Over here it says, when you pull up Pana, stam.
Yep.
What it means is he's saying to Hashem, like, I don't know what to do.
Right. Oh, and that connects to Pasha not knowing what to do, connects to Nefilas Apayim. Because what do we say at the end of Nefilas Apayim? Va'anachnu lo neida manasa. Incidentally, I saw an amazing vart. This I reserve the right to use next year for when the Talmidim come back in a 10-minute Musar Chasidus. So I saw an amazing vart. The way I just explained Va'anachnu lo neida fits in beautifully to what you just said from the Maskil of David. But I saw an amazing vart that we say va'anachnu lo neida ma na'ase. The grammar doesn't sound like we don't know what to do, but what will be done. Okay, so I saw my siddur, I have it sitting over here, one of them a beautiful vart from the Farshim, that it's not va'anachnu lo neida ma na'ase that we're lost, not like we're saying for the Maskil David, which I think is the emes over here. But v'anachnu lo neida manasa, we don't know manasa ki olecha einenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't need to have the answers of what to do ki olecha einenu, because on you are our eyes. In other words, we trust that the best thing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So two ways to understand v'anachnu lo neida. Is v'anachnu lo neida the ultimate expression of Nefilas Apayim that we're totally lost? Or is it the Nechama after Nefilas Apayim where we say that at the end of the day, Ki Olecha Einenu? In other words, Va'anachlo Neida is not a cry of pain, it's a cry of Bitachon. Yesh La'ayim. Now, Zorlin Yaneinu, though, that this is the Hemshech Hadvarim over here in the Avera. So we have a few Tzarachians. We see the progression. Rashi doesn't allude to that the next Avera of Klal Yisrael by the Mei Meriva, when Klal Yisrael complains, so it's the next step. Moshe Rabbeinu then hits the rock. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu has been weakened. Moshe Rabbeinu has been weakened by Klal Yisrael. Lahavdil Olufalfe Aldavos, the Nefesh HaChaim writes on the Pasuk, Sur Yilod Choteshi. Reb Chaim Volozhin and Shar Aleph describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach in this world somehow seems to be dependent on man. What does the Pasuk say? Sur Yiladcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation's teshi, made HaKadosh Baruch Hu weak. So Nefesh HaChaim asks, how could it possibly be? So Nefesh HaChaim explains that in one of the most powerful messages that the whole Sefer Nefesh HaChaim has, and one of the most powerful images, he says, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like being at the bottom of a rope. And Klal Yisrael could shake HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this in the lower world and bring Kedusha down. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha remains residing above. And therefore, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koach is not affected by Klal Yisrael, but if his manifestation in this world is going to be affected. So Lahavdil Aluf Alfei Avdolos, Moshe Rabbeinu as being the Malame Torah to Klal Yisrael, being the intellectual conduit between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as at times in forms of tefillah as well, and also being the great Kadagar. You know, I love Chasidus, but you know, they describe Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, it's Chusa Yogin Aleinu as being the category of Klal Yisrael. Reb Levi Yitzchak doesn't come close to Moshe Rabbeinu as being the category of Klal Yisrael. But even Moshe Rabbeinu, there reaches a certain point where the tragedy has become so deep that Moshe Rabbeinu's kayach is a manik. Which is true. My Rebbe Ron Spiegel, may have a fush, let me used to say, and I said to the Talmidim, that he used to say, I go with supply and demand. As more as the Talmidim push me, the more is going to come, more is going to come out of me. So even for a Malamed, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate Malamed, how much Klal Yisrael gets from Moshe Rabbeinu, and how effective Moshe Rabbeinu could be as a Malamed Yisrael, that's also very much dependent on how the Talmidim are going to look. If Binyamin didn't push me to have Shir tonight, so I wouldn't have. We would just read Chumash Rashi and Yotze Zayin close. But if you need to spend some time, so then you realize things that you didn't realize before. So let's come back to our Tzarech Yunus. Number one, why is it called Sefer Bamidbar? Chazal referred to it as Pekudim. Number two, what is the connection between the Avera of Klal Yisrael by the Misononim and the hedonism of Parshas Balosha with the Lashon Hara of Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu? And what could we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's weakness that's developing clearly in this drama, going from Parshas Balosa into Chukas Balach, and then ultimately an entirely new count of Klal Yisrael, almost a new identity, entirely different than the one that was supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal has an amazing, amazing idea that Rav David quotes, and this part this is new to me. And this grabbed me like Mamish grabbed me by the lapel. We mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu was the Malamed. Soloveitchik himself felt the greatest appellation that could exist for a person is to be a Malamed. He didn't like being called a Rashiva. He said if I would describe himself, he'd describe himself as a Malamed. The beauty of it is that the term Malamed is used for Kita Aleph, Kita Bet Rebbe. That's the beauty of Torah, is that a Malamed is the one of the greatest Gaonim of the generation. Malamed is also Kita Aleph, Kita Bet Rebbe. Rav Soloveitchik also like to point out the irony that Rav Moshe Feinstein was called the Rosh Yeshiva and he was called the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik was called the Rav in New York at the time. So those were the two appellations. The Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Rav was. And he said really their roles were the opposite, that Rav Moshe Feinstein was really the Rav of New York City and all of America. And Rav Soloveitchik was, his shiurim were much more in Gemara, which much better attended than Rav Moshe Feinstein's. But he didn't like either of the appellations. He thought that the ultimate is a Malamed, to be a Malamed Torah. And each one of us, that applies to every single one of us. Every single one of us are Malamdim. To our children, to our circle, we're Malamdim. Moshe Rabbeinu's role entirely changes. And Moshe Rabbeinu describes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Kivras HaTava. Moshe Rabbeinu complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At first glance, it just looks like a complaint. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu was not simply complaining, he was describing a new phenomenon and a new role of himself. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Lama Hareyoisa Lavdecha, Veloma Loi Matzasi Chem Boenecha, Lasumes Masa Kol Amazeh Olai, He Anoichi Harisi Es Kol Amazeh. Did I become pregnant with this people? Im Anochi Yiluditia. Did I give birth to them? Ki Soimer Elai, that you should say to me, Se'eyu V'chaykecha, that I should carry them in my bosom, kasha yisa omen asayonek, like a woman who's nursing. What's absolutely fascinating is, this is the first time Moshe Rabbeinu describes his relationship to Klal Yisrael as that of a mother. Shma b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh mitaris imecha. The role of a mother is entirely different than the role of a father. The role of a father is to instruct, to give musar. Taras imecha doesn't mean taira, right? A woman's not even chuyav in Talmud Torah. It means the totality of bina. That's Taras imecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the paradigm of a father, the Malamed Torah LeYisrael, the Bechina of an Av, now describes his relationship as a mother. This is not Stam Moshe Rabbeinu complaining that Klal Yisrael needs to be treated like babies and needs their diapers changed like babies. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying something very much more profound. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu feels that his role has been entirely changed. Not only being the Melamed La'am Yisrael, but also now he has to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? That he has to be the mother of Klal Yisrael? What that means is as follows. If we're not steeped in a hedonistic society, in a hedonistic environment, then the Rebbe could be a Rebbe. The Talmidim come, they're ready to learn. But the only way to combat a society that is so consumed by its materialism is that the Rebbe now also has to become not only the paradigmatic father, but also a paradigmatic mother. What a very powerful image. In other words, let's understand, I guess I have a leaning towards psychology in my nature. So I want to add, Rosolvechik did not. So I want to add a psychological dimension to this. From what I understand, Ramesh could help me out with the biology as well. It's good to have someone from Harvard here to help us out. From what I understand, I'm not sure if I have the biology entirely correct. A child's taste, their taste buds, of course, what is the first thing that a child naturally tastes? If a child nurses, mother's milk. It's mother's milk. Milk, on a certain level, I think scientists have done this study, that milk has, particularly milk to the tongue of an infant, has a sweet component to it. A child's first sense of pleasure, at least when it comes to food, and one could argue, I'm sure Freud would have a field day with this as well. From what I understand from Freud, it applies to other bechinas of pleasure as well, leaving aside whether that's emes or not, just showing how involved this idea is, goes back to its first interaction with its mother, nursed by its mother. The only way the sweetness of the material world could be effectively fought is when Moshe Rabbeinu himself somehow finds a way as a mother of Klal Yisrael to replace, or to supplement would be a better word, to supplement the materialistic mother's milk, and that Torah itself gives over that sweetness that combats the sweetness of materialism and fights against the vice of hedonism in the society that's around them. How is that done? That's a very heavy avodah. That's a very, very heavy avodah. But that's the yisod. That's the yisod. In Kainim Advarim, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that that's the pshat over here. And why Moshe Rabbeinu particularly separates from his wife. I'm talking to men, I'll throw in a little bit of mussar. This Rav Soloveitchik didn't have to address profound psychological issues to address. I think it's a davar, it's move on to me'ela, but for us to appreciate the work of our wives as mothers. A woman does not have her own singular identity. a woman's identity, a woman that becomes a mother, whether that changes when her child reaches adolescence, that's a separate question. When does that... But a woman's never is a separate individual. She is entirely linked with her child. Her child's sustenance, an infant, entirely depends on the mother. Just stop for a moment, or Akar Satov, to your wives for a moment. The notion of being an absolute individual only exists in the mature male world and not in the mature female world. If every single one of Klal Yisrael are Moshe Rabbeinu's children, and Moshe Rabbeinu now Kaviyachal has to be the mother, Moshe Rabbeinu loses his entire individual identity, and therefore he cannot live as a husband with another woman, or Soloveitchik argued. Hence it's at this moment that Moshe Rabbeinu is Pirish. It's hard to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu's Prisha, at the end of the day, we speak about the Sinchasim classes, sexual relations. The Ramban describes that, whether it's written by the Ramban or Rabbeinu Bechayev, as Igeres HaKodesh. Intimacy is Kedusha. So what's this? This is the Chas V'Chalila, comes from the Christian playbook. Chas V'Chalila. It's an interesting take on it. Whether it's the only understanding of it, it's a fascinating Havana. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer entirely simply a male and therefore able to be a husband. A husband has to be entirely a separate individual. Al kein ye'ezoi vishes aviv esimoi v'davak v'ishtoi. He first has to become entirely an individual. This is the balance. Now we have a lot of contemporary issues touch on the different points that we're making over here. This is the balance that we now have in quote-unquote the Shidduch crisis. On the one hand, I'm all for all the tikkunim that are being done. But just lahagdil toru la'adira, on the one hand, you have the following phenomenon. You have the phenomenon in which there are girls who are getting older and guys who are beginning to date later, and so therefore there's an argument that there is an imbalance. What's the suggestion? Suggestion is for guys to begin to date earlier on. The yeshivas are resistant to it. The yeshivas want to encourage boys. Well, it could be selfish reasons because they want to have more boys in the yeshiva. That's terrible. You got to think of the best thing for Klal Yisrael. But one of the arguments is that the boys aren't mature enough. Some say no, that's a misnomer. It's not correct. Who knows what the answer to that question is? That's not what I'm thinking about Sefer Bamidbar. But what is critical is for a man to be an effective husband, he needs to be a separate and distinct individual. That's the definition of a husband. In order for the Zachrus to complement the Nakfus, which ultimately through conception loses its individuality, there needs to be someone in someone else who's holding up the house who's entirely an individual. Moshe Rabbeinu now has lost that. Moshe Rabbeinu is now, not only is he Melamed Torah L'Klal Yisrael, but he's now also the mother of Klal Yisrael. Wow. How relevant is this to us today? How relevant is it to us today? But it's not easy to be a mother. You speak to most mothers, their energy is sapped from them. Yisrashel Yodav. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands become weak. Those same hands, when they become weak, that kaviyachol make a mistake of hitting the rock. Nisrashel yadav. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to be both the malamed Torah L'Am Yisrael as well as the mother of Klal Yisrael. That's all part of this tragedy. In a way, that's how the Parsha Shir ends. it's the tragedy of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. But now we go back to answer the question: why is it called Sefer about Midbar? Chumash HaPikudim, what was supposed to be the initial counting of Klal Yisrael, now becomes the saga. It wasn't supposed to be the story of Midbar. But the three Sfarim of Bamidbar that were slashed in half by Vayib and Sayaron Moshe, which are the saga of the Midbar, the anticipation, and then the tragedy of being stuck in the Midbar and all the Averos that follow. The reason why the story with Miriam's Lashon Hara appears over here is also now understood. Because Moshe Rabbeinu has to be parish. And according to Rashi, each successive Avera of Klal Yisrael, which ultimately leads to Moshe Rabbeinu's error, are all a product of the first Avera, and that is the Avera of the Slav. Okay, that's where we end. But there's a couple of practical lessons. Anybody has to go, I totally understand this late. A couple of very, very practical lessons that I think that we could take from this as well. Once upon a time, and when I say once upon a time, I'm talking 1,000 years ago, talking about 500 years ago, talking about 100 years ago, I'm talking about 20 years ago when I was a Talmud. Once upon a time, the way in which Torah was taught, and the way Torah was supposed to be taught, was the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah before Vayib and Sai Aharon, before the Aharon had to move. Before there was a new mitzius. And then the Rebbe was a father. And then the father could be a father. The father as a malamed. Nowadays, every malamed Torah has to be simultaneously both a father and a mother. Because if the Kivros Hatava existed in those days, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to now counter the sweetness, the allure of the physical world, which the Bali Mutter described as something that glitters, but is actually there's nothing behind it. So Kal V'chomer Ben Benoshel Kal V'chomer, in our generation, as much as we try, and we should continue trying, to build walls and fences between that hedonistic society, at the end of the day, there's no way that it doesn't seep in. And therefore, the responsibility of the Malamdei Torah, which are not only the Rabbeim and Mechanchim, but are every single father and every single mother, is also we have to realize that we have to carry our children. It's not easy. It's draining. But at the end of the day, the old-fashioned system doesn't work. It was meant for those days. That was the parshios of Bamidbar, Naso, and Balos. But until we reach that point of Avunucha and Yomar, in this Bechina of Vayib and Sai Aharon, when the Aharon is in movement, then that requires, it mandates from us a different approach. And what does it mean practically? What it means practically is that we have to, as fathers, be willing to do things that once upon a time was associated with what mothers do. We as Rabbeim have to be ready to do things that were normally associated with what basketball coaches did. we as Rabbeim have to do what was normal, was previously associated with what psychologists or therapists did. I mentioned to you in the past that I found that as I got older with my youngest son, it was more of an avoda to force myself to, in one of the parenting classes we discussed this, to sit on the floor and play with my son. In our generation, that's something that really needs to be done. No longer is it clear to a child that there's something that's beautiful and sweet that's coming from above, from the Malamdin. The Malamdin have to find a way, and the fathers have to find a way to make it sweet. And the most important way is connecting. Connecting in a way that used to be associated with a mother relationship as opposed to a father relationship. Obviously, there are many, many nuances here. These are Dvar Mamukim. There are many, many different examples of this, many, many different manifestations of it. But for a Parsha Shir, we'll leave it at this. The tragedy ends with Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyachol becoming weaker as time goes on. And maybe it's impossible. Maybe it's impossible to demand from the Manig Yisrael also to be the mother of every Jew. That's impossible. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ono Mikol Adam, even Moshe Rabbeinu can't reach that madriga. But there's no question in my mind that for every father to be able to have that relationship with their child, with their sons and their daughters, it's another thing. Once upon a time, the fathers instructed the boys and the women instructed the daughters. It's a different world today. It's a different world. The mother has to be there for their son, and the father needs to be there for the daughter just as much as the inverse. But that responsibility of having both the bechina of bina, both the bechina of nakfus, as well as the bechina of zachrus in directing Klal Yisrael and being mashpia Klal Yisrael, that's obvious. Yeshal Malaharech, but we'll stop over here.